KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies and 12 degrees. It looks for to be partly cloudy today and a high of 33. And a chance of light snow or flurries tonight with a low of 28. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Well, the first in a series of meetings to discuss facility issues pertaining to the CAM school district begins tomorrow. CAM Superintendent Paul Cron says facility improvements have been in the planning and initial stages since before last July. That includes engineering and architect walkthrough of all the district's buildings and an evaluation of the mechanical and electrical systems.
We've had a conversation with some financial institutions like Piper Jaffray and PFM, presentation of where we're at financially as a district, where we could be with resources, whether it be the PEPL and save monies or bonding, you know, what capacities would you have there? And then we continue this conversation and having no decisions made on direction, what we could do or not do. And I think at that time, our last workshop, we discussed all these things and reviewed things. And I thought it was wise of the board at that time to say, you know, we could have ideas as a board, but why not get input from our public, see what kind of direction they would like to go, inform them of why we are looking at our facilities, why we want to look at considerations and improvements.
One of the top reasons, he says, for looking into building improvements has to do with keeping students and staff safe.
Security, obviously, is mentioned in today's age of a secured building. You know, like we have secured entrances, but they open up to the entire building. And you kind of want to limit that flow, at least during the business day, and make things look aesthetically. That's one. Handicap accessibility, the aging parts of buildings, whether it be roofs and lighting, mechanical systems, you know, some of those things that take a lot of money but don't show a lot of change because you don't really change a lot of the structure of the wall. Those are things that they were looking at. And then you get into conversations of, you know, we're doing this for the kids and what's important for the way we should educate kids today and in the future.
And the public hearings are being held 3 days in a row at different times and locations, so all district patrons who are interested in attending might be able to attend. The first meeting to discuss facility assessments is, as mentioned, 1 p.m. tomorrow at the Cumberland Community Building. The second CAM Community School District meeting is on Monday, February 10th at 5 p.m., and that'll take place in the high school commons in Oneida. The third and final meeting is at 5 p.m. on Tuesday in the middle school commons area. All school board members may be present at each or any meeting.
Expect these meetings to last about an hour to an hour and a half long, depending on comments that are collected from the public or questions that might come through these presentations. But these three meetings are identical. They're all informational, what we've done to this point and why we've done it to this point, and then what's the next steps that will take place.
Cron says the same information will be presented during each meeting, and as the process moves forward, there will be additional meetings with more specific information. The next regular school board meeting for the CAM school board will be held at 6:30 p.m. in the superintendent's office of the high school building in Oneida later on. Well, a man accused of killing a woman from Algona outside of a bank in the Kossuth County town of Luverne last year changed his plea from not guilty to guilty during a hearing on Friday. Brian Wilson reports from Algona.
35-year-old Valentino Williams of Coralville changed his plea to guilty during a hearing in Kossuth County District Court. Williams admitted in court to killing 43-year-old Jessica Weishauer outside the Security State Bank in Luverne on the morning of December 4th of 2019. Williams was arrested following a traffic stop along Interstate 35 in rural Franklin County a little more than an hour after the shooting. As part of the plea deal, prosecutors dropped the first-degree robbery charges against Williams. Judge Nancy L. Wittenberg accepted the plea and handed out a mandatory sentence of life without parole.
And prosecutors have announced two Eastern Iowa men in their 50s have been sentenced to federal prison on child pornography charges. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
55-year-old Ricky Charles Hess of North Liberty has been sentenced to 12 years in prison for possession of child pornography. State investigators got an online tip about Hess in August of 2017. A search of his computer and smartphone turned up more than 160 videos and 30 photos of child pornography. The other man, 57-year-old Jeffrey Scott Walker of Burlington, will spend 8.5 years in prison after pleading guilty to receiving and distributing child pornography. Federal agents traced Walker's electronic devices to online ads about child porn. I'm O.K. Henderson.
A Des Moines man has pleaded guilty to killing a homeless man last year with a stolen car. 22-year-old Dontarius Bomar pleaded guilty Friday to second-degree murder and first-degree robbery in the January 2019 death of 69-year-old Charles Childs. Police say Bomar was driving the stolen car when he hit Childs and kept going. Childs was found dead 2 days later inside of a tent at a homeless camp. As part of his plea deal, Bomar could face up to 75 years in prison. His sentencing is scheduled for April 1st. Staffers at a Cedar Rapids homeless shelter for the winter are working with police to reduce problems that have led to complaints from neighbors. The Fillmore Center opened in mid-November to offer a warm place to sleep. Police have since then received 82 calls for service at that location. Those calls included 41 for disturbances and 31 for medical needs, as well as others for theft, a warrant, and other issues. Police have said there have been 10 arrests, including 7 for public intoxication. And that led to neighborhood complaints and an effort by staff to take a firmer stance with those rule breakers. The new director of the Iowa Department of Natural Resources appears to be on track to be confirmed for the job by the Iowa Senate. Republican Governor Kim Reynolds appointed Kayla Lyon as DNR director last summer. Some criticized the appointment because Lyon has worked as a lobbyist for farmers and agribusiness. Lyon discussed that with lawmakers this week.
Yes, my background is in agriculture. I'm proud of my agriculture roots, but Iowa has a strong culture and heritage in agriculture, but that does not mean that agriculture and natural resources cannot coexist, and they should. In order for agriculture and Iowa as a whole to be successful in the future.
Senator Rob Hogue, a Democrat from Cedar Rapids, says while some have raised concerns about Lyon's previous work, he predicts that she'll be confirmed.
It's not necessarily the worst thing to have people from outside perspectives come in.
Lyon had served as the governor's lobbyist at the legislature before she became the first female to lead the Iowa DNR in June. State agency directors must win votes of at least 34 senators to be confirmed for their job. Iowa egg and poultry producers are on high alert as China reports an H5N1 bird flu outbreak has occurred near the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak. Iowa Poultry Association CEO and Executive Director Kevin Stiles says avian influenza is always top of mind for Iowa producers.
I don't think, though, that necessarily transmitting into the United States via human contact is the first concern. We're mostly concerned just with migratory patterns that we see and what implications that might hold for us.
Stiles says that Iowa's poultry producers are better prepared now than they were 5 years ago, as biosecurity has much improved.
We continue to work with our producers, with the larger egg and poultry community, to practice diligence in their biosecurity practices, make sure that they are always on high alert when it comes to any sort of disease threat, but in particular avian influenza.
Since the latest Chinese bird flu outbreak was the H5N1 strain, Stiles says it's more concerning than if it were another type.
Well, that certainly raises it a little bit higher on our attention, certainly, but we also know there are strains and outbreaks of any avian influenza in various countries in Europe at the present time, so that also puts us on high alert.
An outbreak of the similar H5N2 strain of avian flu in 2015 caused more than $1 billion damage to Iowa poultry producers as millions of chickens and turkeys had to be destroyed. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.